Okay. This is what he said. The man says, "Is anybody up there?" A voice came. He said, "Yes, I'm here." "Who's that?" "The Lord." The man said, "Lord, help me." And the voice said, "Do you trust me?" The man said, "I trust you completely, Lord." And the voice said, "Good. Let go of the branch." And the man said, "What?" The voice said, I said, "Let go of the branch." And the man, after a long pause, you know what he said? "Is anybody else up there?" I thought that was a good story as I was studying this. This is a vision message today. And I came across that I listened to Jonathan's message twice on his vision message, and I was really just really blessed. I really encourage you, if you get a chance, to listen to some of these messages over, because I don't know, it has a different impact for me specifically when I go for a walk, my walks, and I turn on a message. I think about it differently than. Not that I don't like looking at Jonathan, but I focus more on what he says, and it has a really special impact. We even talked about it last night on something he mentioned about what June and he went through in Africa, and it was really precious. But Jonathan, in his vision message, spoke about faith and unbelief. So I was praying and asking the Lord, how can... what would be a vision message that you would like me to share for the chapel? And I really appreciate Michael for adding this into the message series for the year, because it's a little bit more personal. These vision messages are a little bit more personal as we think about the chapel, as we think about where the Lord has brought us to and where we would like to see, with the Lord's help, move forward and what the Lord is showing me. And I pray it will be a blessing to you. But Jonathan's message, he spoke a lot. Again, faith and unbelief. Jonathan spoke about conviction. He spoke about commitment. He talked about that, you know, faith is not just a point, it's a line. I hope you guys remember these things. He talked about patient trust in what the Lord is doing when things don't go our way. How do we live our life when we know when we're in the unknown, right? When we're in the wilderness of not having our plans all before us, and the Lord's taking us through a difficult time, do we have the patient trust in the Lord? Those are some powerful points. And then faith as a constant line of trust and obedience. Think about that. That's what the Lord gave Jonathan as a message for all of us. Faith and unbelief. Where are we in that? Let me open up in a word of prayer, and then I'll show you in my spider web of thoughts. I hope it comes together. But Heavenly Father, Lord, we just praise you and thank you for this time together. I praise you and thank you for, Lord, just allowing us to see your goodness in our lives, Lord. We just thank you for the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, I pray that you would just get me out of the way and my fumbling words out of the way, Lord, and allow your spirit to really move and connect our hearts and these thoughts in your word. Lord, I just thank you and ask for your blessing upon this time. In your precious son's name, Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Actually, I had a video to show you. On vision. Oh, wait. Make sure it's not on. I don't know what happened. Where did the line go?
Up at the break, wasn't it?
Mm-hmm. All right, let's try this again. We have a fellowship luncheon, so I could take extra time. So there we go. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, when I think about where our congregation is, where the Lord has brought our chapel and our assembly, it's good. I believe the Lord has brought us here. We have a good direction in. I love that we're meeting in the mornings now. Sometimes I was just sharing this Thursday night. I still have this unsettledness in me of, you know, not having our own place, but more of an unsettledness of I hope we have some kind of unity of a new perspective. And these vision messages and the vision statement that we worked on and shared, we want this to allow the Lord to kind of bring things together so as a chapel family, we may know God's will, follow the Spirit in His leading, and how He would want us to grow. Grow meaning not numbers, but grow in the Lord, right? Grow in our affection to the Lord, grow in our unity and our love for one another and our burden for one another. So these are some of the thoughts I have. So I was thinking about this. I was thinking about something else, which I'll bring up. But this idea is going to come out today. Being illuminators of Christ. Do we illuminate Christ personally? Jonathan's message was really good about personal reflection, faith and unbelief. If we truly have faith, how is it being nurtured? How is it being flourished? And that, is it thriving? And that I'm going to kind of take that a little further. Being illuminators of Christ. Reflecting God's glory means abiding in Him. Are we abiding? And how does that reflect? How does that work out in our personal life, our marriages, our home life? And then in our assembly life, how are we reflecting God's glory? Okay. So this is where the Lord kind of led me first. Okay. Okay. This is just an acronym. Okay. Are you a fat Christian? Okay. Are you a fat Christian? Okay. And this is where the Lord led me first, but the Lord changed my thoughts because this is where I want to go to at the end. Okay. And what I was thinking about here as a vision message is, are we faithful? Am I faithful? Faithful to the things of the Lord? Am I faithful to my personal quiet time? Am I personal study of the scriptures? Am I faithful to the assembly meetings and being a part of the assembly? Am I available? These are some things. Going back to faithful. Are you a faithful believer or an unfaithful believer in the Lord? What would be the signs of either one? Faithfulness or unfaithfulness? What would be those signs? Next one is available. Are you available for or to the Lord's work, or are you unavailable? You know, I was thinking of Doug Torok's message a long time ago. We had a brother come down named Doug Torok, and he spoke on a series of messages called Are You Interruptible? In our lives, are you interruptible? Are you available for what the Lord has for you? Or do we busy our lives, right? Do we busy our lives so much we can't hear the whisper of the Lord? We can't hear God's leading. Do you have a desire for the Lord's work, or do you feel you have no time for whatever the Lord is calling you to? Or are you more concerned for the things of this life, activities, schedules, work, family life? Are we available? And the last one is teachable. Are you a person that is pliable and open to the Lord teaching you new things? Do you have a willingness to be taught? Do you have a willingness to hear from the Holy Spirit? Or have we become so prideful or so controlling in our life that we know all the answers and we don't need to be taught? I think as believers, to be faithful, to be available, to be teachable are key aspects of knowing the will of God and following the will of God. So these are some questions I want us to kind of reflect on. And this is where we're going to go to at the end, because I came to this point and I was like, you know what? I think there's a few steps before this. That there's a problem that you may be missing, or we may be missing, to be ready to be faithful, available, and teachable. So this is where I want to go. I was thinking, see, this is where I want to end up and not start, because I was thinking I have a deeper problem of a lack of vision and plan for our spiritual lives, or we have a lack of vision or plan for our spiritual lives. We are destitute in the things of God and allowing Him to transform our lives, where we would respond and act like fat Christians. So when you think about this verse, Proverbs 19:18, it's really interesting that as I've grown in life, this is one of the early verses in my spiritual life that kind of hit me hard. And I wanted to look at these different versions here. Authorized King James Version is what I grew up with. Where there is no vision, the people perish. But he that keepeth the law, happy is he. New Living Translation. When people do not accept divine guidance, they run wild. But whoever obeys the law is joyful. The Message. I know many will irk at that, but I just wanted to always look at it. If people can't see what God is doing, they stumble all over themselves, but when they attend to what He reveals, they are most blessed. You know, as I have grown up in life and in my 40s now, I think about this idea, and thankful that Ruba is with me, because she's very a very good person, detailed person. She's a great planner, great scheduler, whereas I'm more of the free spirit. I kind of go, I'm like Jonathan at times, and June's a great compliment to Jonathan. I mean, it's like, if I don't have a plan, I don't have a direction, right? I don't have a ordered way of thinking about things, having a proper perspective. And this is where the Lord kind of led me. In our vision statement, I came back to this. This was part of our vision statement. Abide in Christ. And it said, we seek to remain in Him. We seek to remain in Him. That, and I pause. That abiding, that dwelling, am I doing what I need to do in the first place of remaining in Him, knowing Him, experiencing Him? Am I in His Word, His words in us, so that we meet together to remember Him and to stir one another to love and good works in Him? And I kind of broke it down here. What does God want of me? I don't know about you all, but I ask this often. Lord, what do you want from me? What do you need me to do? Where do you want me to be today? And I start here because I can't talk about fat Christianity if I'm not here, right? This is where the Lord brought me. Am I dwelling in worship in Him? If I am dwelling, and that goes into knowing and obeying His Word. We talked about this in Sunday school. Knowing and memorizing the Scripture. There's a reaction to that, right? We want to obey His Word, which is to gather with His people to remember Him, and then actively love and build up the body of Christ. This is a vision statement, right? This is where, as a body of believers, the elders have looked at it, and we want to, you know, talk about this more, is we can't do anything, do meaning actively, if we're not abiding in Christ. You know, we talk a lot about our concerns for the chapel as body of elders. Are we abiding? If we're abiding, there's fruit from that, and that's where we want God to work from. So I want us to really think about this. This is our vision statement. So what does God want of me in this vision statement? Turn with me to Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1, and I want to just look at a few passages here. What does God want from me? But where and how does all this start? abiding in Christ. Ephesians 1, 17, verse 17 says this. That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. The eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling, what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power toward us who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in that which is to come. This abiding in Christ, I start at this scripture. And I broke it down this way. If we abide in Christ, if we want to please God, you know, and we claim him as the Lord of our life, the Lord wants us to abide in him so that we experience certain things. So Jonathan spoke about faith is not a point, right? It's a line of living in obedience. And then God leads us to certain things. What does it say? That he may give to you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. And I wrote here, the school of Holy Spirit training, right? We talked about this again in Sunday school. That's why I want to make connection to these guys is, when we memorize, when we know God's holy word, it's not just intellectual knowledge, right? The Holy Spirit takes it and he what? Gives us wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. Duncan brought this out in Sunday school. We understand more about God, his character, his love, his personality. And that gives us such great joy when we know him more and more. And that's what I think Paul is saying here. When we abide in Christ, a part of our vision statement, it's a plan. And this is getting down deeper into the root. One is he may give us spirit of wisdom. Next, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, spiritually taught and enlightened, right? The truth is revealed, enlightened to us so that we understand and discern what's happening. Again, that you may know what is the hope of his calling. You see what the Spirit is doing here? He gives you wisdom, revelation, and knowledge of him. Eyes of your understanding being enlightened. That you may know what is the hope of his calling. His purposeful mission. Sometimes we feel lost in life. What does it all mean? As believers, I find great truth here. Because when we abide in Christ, which is part of our vision statement, this is where, you know, it's not top down, oh, just listen to what the elders are saying. We want you to flourish in your faith, right? So that you may experience these things, that you may know what is the hope of his calling, purposeful mission. Look at the lots. God, they abide in Christ. They found their purposeful mission where? On the mission field. Right? We here, here's our mission field, right? Morrisville, man. For me, it's tough to live in Morrisville. But there's a mission for me there, right? It has been revealed to me that you may know what is the hope of his calling, purposeful mission. What are the riches of his glory riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. Assurance. This is how I broke it to break down. And what is the exceeding greatness of his power toward us who believe. Experiential blessings. According to the working of his mighty power. The foundational engine of it all, right? What's this power that he connects this to? Anyone know? Resurrection power. The power to raise the Lord Jesus Christ. He's connecting this all. And so that, what is the exceeding greatness of his power toward us who believe? Experiential blessings. You see the vision. When we abide in him, know his word, there's an outworking, right? And there's an outworking of what he's doing in our lives. I hope this makes sense. This is how, if we truly understand these verses, we come to the realization that the more we abide in Christ, the more we are enlightened to who God is and what he wants to do in our life and how he will accomplish it all through his mighty power. He wants so much more out of our lives. But only if we are willing to yield our lives over to him and pursue him in a magnificent way. He wants us to be a church of illuminators. A church illuminating Christ. Not just, oh, I know a bunch of facts and I have faith and I just do. But to experientially live for Christ. And thrive in Christ. Are we illuminators of Christ? Do we reflect God's glory to this world? You see where it starts, right? It starts all in the abiding in Christ. That's why it's so critical as a part of our vision, our vision statement. Where there is no vision, the people will perish, right? So I really like this way of thinking as believers. And I think this is why Christianity in a whole has been so prolific in its impact in the world of missions, of having plan, of having to establish hospitals, orphanages, and all this. Because from the abiding in Christ, the will of God is revealed. And he moves us into these areas. Make sense? This is our plan as a Western Wake. We would love to be a body of believers who are known for abiding in Christ. Not for our numbers. Not for how well we build a building or the activities we do. But those who truly love the Lord. And let that emanate out. Make sense? Jonathan Edwards says, God glorifies himself toward the creatures in two ways. By appearing to their understanding, one, and two, in communicating himself to their hearts. And in their rejoicing in him, the manifestations which he makes of himself, God is glorified not only in his glory being seen, but in its being rejoiced in. You're being rejoiced in. When those that see it delight in it, so Jonathan Edwards was really good about talking about our affections for the Lord, okay, our inner affections. When those that see it delight in it, God is more glorified than if they only see it, which so easily becomes the more they delight in the glory of God, the more God is glorified in them. When we abide more and more with God, we learn more of him and we truly worship. We truly worship and rejoice in our hearts more and more, and therefore God is most glorified in our joy for him. Here are some questions. As you sit here today, are we truly satisfied in our lives and where we are with God? Are we truly satisfied in our lives? Where we are with God. Is he your utmost in all things? Or have you not communed enough with God to be enlightened to these kind of truths? Or have you not communed enough with God to be enlightened to these kind of truths? You see, if the answer is no, we have not been illumined by God because we have not abode, or is that the right way? Abode? Abided. Abided. Abide. I'm awful with English. Arjun knows I'm bad with this. So, if the answer is no, we have not been illumined by God because we have not dwelt with Christ enough in our own personal lives. Abide with Christ. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 16. I want you to kind of see some of this in Scripture and some of these thoughts. I kind of just dwelt in some of these passages to really see what God was doing. Matthew chapter 16, verse 13 through 17. When Jesus came into the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, "Who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" So they said, "Some say John the Baptist, some Elijah, and others Jeremiah or one of the prophets." But he said to them, "But who do you say that I am?" Think about Jesus asking you that question. Who do you say that I am? Simon Peter answered and said, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." Jesus answered and said to him, "Blessed are you, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. And I also say to you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades shall not prevail against it. And I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven." I think this is a powerful point in Peter's life. Jesus is asking Peter, and in a way asking us, who do you say that I am? In your life, who do you say Christ is? This will define our lives before God. And what does Peter say? "You are Christ, the Son of the living God." And the way Jesus answers is amazing. "For flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven." And I think about this thought, illumination. Peter was illumined and led to the truth to declare, "You're the Christ, the Son of the living God." How assured are we when we would be faced with that same question? Would you be able to declare? I mean, Nate and Jana had this question to ask themselves as they go to the mission field, right? Someone comes up to them on the street. "Who do you say I am?" Doesn't come from intellect. Comes from a heart that has dwelt with him. "You are Christ, the living God." Turn with me to Luke chapter 24. Luke chapter 24. And we're going to read quite a few verses here. Very familiar passage, but pretty awesome. Now, Luke 24, verse 13. "Now behold, two of them were traveling that same day to a village called Emmaus, which was 7 miles from Jerusalem. And they talked together of all these things which had happened. So it was, while they conversed and reasoned, that Jesus himself drew near and went with them. But their eyes were restrained so that they did not know him." Verse 17, "And he said to them, 'What kind of conversation is this that you have with one another as you walk and are sad?' Then the one whose name was Cleopas answered and said to him, 'Are you the only stranger in Jerusalem, and have you not known the things which have happened there in these days?' And he said to them, 'What things?' So they said to him, 'The thing concerning Jesus of Nazareth, who was a prophet mighty in deed and word before God and all the people, and how the chief priests and rulers delivered him to be condemned to death and crucified him.'" Verse 21. "But we were hoping that it was he who was going to redeem Israel. Indeed, besides all this, today is the third day since these things happened. Yes, and certain women of our company who arrived at the tomb early astonished us. When they did not find his body, they came saying that they had also seen a vision of angels who said he was alive. And certain of those who were with us went to the tomb and found it just as the woman had said, but him they did not see." Verse 25, "Then he said to them, 'O foolish ones and slow of heart to believe in all the prophets have spoken. Ought not the Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory?' And verse 27, "And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded to them all the scriptures, the things concerning himself. Then they drew near to the village where they were going, and he indicated that he would have gone further. But they constrained him, saying, 'Abide with us. Abide with us, for it is toward evening, and the day is far spent.' And he went in to stay with them. Now it came to pass, as he sat at the table with them, that he took bread, blessed and broke it, and gave it to them. Verse 31. Then their eyes were opened, and they knew him, and he vanished from their sight. And they said to one another, did not our heart burn within us while he talked with us on the road and while he opened the scriptures to us? Think about what he said. Their eyes, he took bread, blessed and broke it, and gave it to him. Then their eyes were open, and they knew him, and he vanished from their sight. And they said to one another, did not our heart burn within us while he talked with us on the road and while he opened the scriptures to us? What do we see here in these passages? When you have time with the Lord, when you abide with Christ, he brings that illumination that we looked at in Ephesians chapter 1, right? That you may know him, that you may experience him, and that we may rejoice with him. The Emmaus Road disciples were illuminated when they took him in and spent time with him. What amazing learning, and what great benefit there is when we spend time with the Lord. Philippians 3, 9 through 11 says, and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which comes through faith in Christ, the righteousness from God that depends on faith. Verse 10 says, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection. That always boggles my mind when I hear that. That I may know him and the power of his resurrection, and may share his sufferings, becoming like him in his death, that by any means possible I may attain the resurrection from the dead. You see what he's offering? You see what God wants for us in our life? To know him in the now. To know him and to experience and to have true rejoicing in him. That's the vision. Psalms 36:9 says, for you is the fountain of life, and in your light do we see light. For with you is the fountain of life. You know why many of us, myself included, struggle? Because we're missing the boat in daily dwelling with the Lord. I know I struggle more and I have more stress in life, whether it be work, marriage, whatever it may be, I have more stress when I've missed something with the Lord, missed time in the Lord. This is why in our vision statement, we said, abide with him. That's the most critical thing in our lives, to understand who he is and to receive additional blessing when we think we don't even need it. You know, when Ruba and I are off, our communication is off. Sure, it's probably my lack of communication and my lack of understanding, but it also starts when I miss my prayer time. I miss my closet time with the Lord, and I need to run to him. I want you to think about these things. C.H. Spurgeon said, purify flesh and blood by any educational process you may select. Elevate mental faculties to the highest degree of intellectual power, yet none of these can reveal Christ. The Spirit of God must come with power and overshadow the man with his wings. And then in that mystic holy of holiness, the Lord Jesus must display himself to the sanctified eye as he doth not unto the blinded sons of men. Christ must be his own mirror. The great mass of this bleary-eyed world can see nothing of the ineffable glories of Emmanuel. He stands before them without form or comeliness, a root out of dry ground, rejected by the vain and despised by the proud. Only where the Spirit has touched the eye with eye salve, quickened the heart with divine life, and educated the soul to a heavenly taste, only there is he understood. Is that true or not? Only when we encounter the Lord daily in a walk of faith do we really know him and understand him. How about Tozer? Tozer says, for millions of Christians, God is no more real than he is to the non-Christian. They go through life trying to love an ideal and be loyal to a mere principle, a loving personality that dominates the Bible, walking among the trees of the garden and breathing fragrance over every scene. Always a living person is present, speaking, pleading, loving, working, and manifesting himself whenever and wherever his people have the receptivity necessary to receive the manifestation. It remains for us to think on these truths and pray over them until they begin to what? Glow in us. If we cooperate with him in loving obedience, God will manifest himself to us, and that manifestation will be the difference between a nominal Christian life and a life radiant with the light of his face. You see what I'm saying here? Many of us are living in this shallow, nominal Christian life and not experiencing all that God wants for us. And he's saying, oh, come and dwell. Oh, come and abide with me. And then what does he say? You'll become glowing. You become illuminators. In Long Island, my brothers and I, we had tons of fireflies. It was the most awesome thing to walk into your property and just as kids, we just be running around trying to catch these fireflies. And then what do? We put them in a jar and we put holes in the top, but after a few days they died. But it was awesome just to watch them, right? As kids, we were amazed that God created this thing that glows in the darkness. What are we? What are we in the darkness of this world? We are the illuminators of Christ, reflecting Christ. 1 Peter 2:9 says, but you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for his own possession, that you may proclaim the excellencies of him. This is where I'm getting towards fat Christian, okay? That you may proclaim the excellencies of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Once you were not a people, but now you are God's people. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. What an awesome thing, responsibility we have. One is to draw closer to him, to know him, to experience his many wonderful blessings so that he can move us into that vision statement, right? To gather together, to encourage one another, to edify one another. I know my time is gone, so I'm going to close up here. And there's a lot of things I want to talk about here, but I'm not going to get to it. Are you a fat Christian? Meaning faithful, available, and teachable, right? When we abide, when we dwell with the Lord, he shows us all those wonderful things of Ephesians chapter 1. And we radiate. We understand the truths. We understand him and his character. And we become... He does the work, right? He does the sanctifying work. He gives us the Holy Spirit and the power of his resurrection to become faithful. Faithful to his calling, to his purpose, to his will. Faithful to the meetings, to the assembly work, the body of work, to the larger support of missionaries and prayer in missionary work and being part of the larger community. We become available, right? Available. Lord, wherever it is, send me. Lord, who is that person you want me to speak to today? You know, I was asking Jonathan and June, if you don't mind me sharing, the illustration he brought up from his message was when they lost their fourth child. And I was like, how did you realize, if you listen to the message, he said, God used that difficult part in their life, that unknown, just doesn't have reason to it, but God uses it for his purposes, and how, and their availability of being a powerful witness, they meet a random German guy on a train. And they get the opportunity to share their suffering. They were available to be a witness and testimony of what God just brought them to. You see what I mean, being a fat Christian? Faithful, available. And then he takes us times of teachable. Are you pliable? Are you teachable to be taught from God's word through the Holy Spirit? Are you willing to be corrected by the Holy Spirit? Are you willing to be corrected by loving brothers and sisters? This is what I mean by this thought here. Vision of being abiding with Christ takes us into these areas. And I don't want to go into this. I want to close actually. And I have a hymn I asked Michael to sing in our closing. But maybe you could look at this on your own. When we are faithful, available, and teachable, here's our evidences and applications of being those things. We get the mind of Christ. We study Philippians chapter 2, humility of the suffering servant. You see, our lives are transformed and we represent Christ more. Emotionally, we enjoy the Word of God. We have an inexpressible joy knowing the Word of God and allowing it to emanate out of us. Volitionally, we understand the urgency of the gospel and understanding the responsibility of the truth. We respond to His Word. We sacrifice our bodies, right? We sacrifice our lives for His calling. And these also things talk about the Word and knowing His Word and obeying His Word and experiencing that joy. Being faithful calls these out. But what's the vision? The vision is, I didn't put it here. Abiding in Christ, right? Abiding in Christ leads to FAT. I'll stop saying it, but FAT, okay? Faithful, available, teachable. May the Lord move me and move our assembly into these realms of thought. I know there's a lot of fumbling in my words and stuff, but I pray the Word of God speaks to you. And this is our passion. This is my passion that I would like to see for my life, my marriage, my children, for the youth group, for all of us, that we would respond to His indwelling relationship in our life and our faith journey. Let's close in a word of prayer, and then I'll ask Michael to come up. Heavenly Father, Lord, we just praise You and thank You, Lord. I thank You for how You have given us the Holy Spirit that indwells us and that teaches us and that, Lord, pricks our conscience, Lord, and so that we, Lord, have an uneasiness when we are not right with You. Lord, I pray that You would teach our hearts, that You would speak to us, Lord, in my, Lord, finite words, Lord, that You can just reveal some of these truths, enlighten our understanding, Lord, that we may know You, that we may know You, Lord, in Your fullness, Lord, and respond to You in faith and to know Your will and calling for our life. Lord, lead us in these things, Lord. We thank You for Your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank You for the life given at the cross, Lord, that we may have life today. And life more fully, Lord. I thank You. We thank You and we lift all this up to Your precious Son's name, Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.